Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for your big book study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Today we're reading from the big book, Working with Others. We are on page 95, the first paragraph, starting with, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, ending, and you will do anything to help. All right, our readers, for the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, we have Katie G. Leah S. is going to start us off with the text. Nancy R. is going to read 164. A backup reader, we don't need that because Katie G. is handling that. Newcomer greeters, Tony B. And second hour host is Hanayeta R. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome anyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a vision for you big book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps. Oh, you know what?
Thank you.
1 second, Tenzin. I skipped over one little section. So the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, the 1st of May, 2025, we only have the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And if someone has a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID, please share that with me if you can. I appreciate it. So the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,396. That's 22,396. And Tenzin, take it away.
Okay, and actually the share ID for yesterday is 22398.
Okay, that's for 7 a.m.
Yeah, for our 7 a.m., yeah.
22398. All right, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. And here are Tenzin P. checking in from New York, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. I pass.
All right there, Tenzin. Next up is Katie G. is going to help us with the traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Katie G., a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Harm and welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, vicarious message for a compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Yes, honey. Less money, less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from the primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service users may employ specialists. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on judgment. We need always maintain personal immunity to the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for my talk.
Thanks, Katie. Appreciate it. And thank you, Tenzin, also. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph and a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep a share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. And for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So now we're getting back into working with others. Page 95 it is, the first paragraph, starting with, unless your friend wants to talk further, ending with, you would do anything to help. And Leah S. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. Okay, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, do not wear out your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he's likely to say you rushed him. You will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform, and never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked for you, with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. Okay, that's a full paragraph, a lot. Here we go. Okay, so I'm a guide and probably a sponsor or whichever way you want to call it about these Big Book and the 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions in this program. And having gone through myself all these steps and experienced all of these things and doing all of these things, making amends, behaving, trying to behave in a little different. I can try to explain how I did it, but I need to know what you would like me to do. I would like to know I can help you in this program. And this is something that I try to tell a new protege. Then they have a paragraph where it says, never talk down to an alcoholic. You know, sometimes you can get excited. You know, I went through this and I went through that. The truth of the matter is, I am here because I want to hear your recovery. If you want to hear how I went through that recovery, then do ask me. But it's not my jurisdiction to say what, when, and where, how you are, what you are. No matter what, you are here because you are a compulsive overeater, and that's why I am here. My own actions have to be at least as tangible or it has to make an impression on me, and then I'm sure it makes an impression on you. I'm really here for fellowship and perhaps friendship, and I'm able, and thank you, God, I'm willing, and that's all I've got. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Leia. All right, so next up, we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Now others get a chance to share. Just need your name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on this?
Janet B.
Elena C.
Janet, Elena.
Eve, Nikki
P.
Hanayeta R.
Claire. One second, Claire. Nancy.
Did you get Nancy? Yeah.
Yep. Hanayeta. Okay, Nancy. Claire. Who else? Anyone else? We got plenty of time here. All right, we'll start with this one. Janet B., Elena C., Claire, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, Nancy B., and Anietta. Janet, you are up.
Thank you. Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. It's Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So it talks about don't talk down to someone and lay out the kit of spiritual tools. And I was thinking back to my very first sponsor when I was in high school and already desperate. And I remember the first of many times that I binged while trying to work the steps. And not only did she berate me, she called her sponsor to have her sponsor talk to me and berate me and say, why'd you binge on whatever it was? You know what it tastes like. And that didn't help because all it did was make me feel even worse than I already did. And they gave me tools. They gave me the tool of a food plan and meetings and phone calls, and not at all to say that we don't need those, because they do. And all of my sponsees, I tell them they need a food plan, they need to go to meetings, and they need to make phone calls. But what wasn't given to me with that were spiritual tools. The spiritual tools for me to inspect. And like, what are spiritual tools, right? Like, when I think of tools, I think of like a hammer or a chisel or things like that. I don't know, my husband has a garage full of them. But what are spiritual tools? And that's what this program is about. It's about spiritual tools, spiritual actions that we can take, so that we can get a proper relationship with God so that he can come in and remove our obsession. So what are our spiritual tools? I'm thinking of some off the top of my head. Faith, coming to believe that there really is a God and he really can restore me to sanity. And then surrender, right? That's a proper relationship with God, that I've surrendered to his will. He is the principal, I'm his agent. He is the father, I am the beloved child. Spiritual tool, cleaning up the wreckage of my past and making amends, praying and meditate so I can get to know God better and know his will for me. And then, of course, one of the biggest spiritual tools, self-sacrifice in order to help other people. Those tools weren't given to me at the beginning. It was, here's a food plan, stick to it. But I wasn't given the spiritual tools so that I could stick to it. And when I finally, thank God, was given the spiritual tools, they were laid out for my inspection. And because I was desperate, I said yes. And what those spiritual tools do is they just help us to build a bridge to God so that he can come over and take away the food obsession. And I'm just blessed and grateful to be a part of this. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Elena C., followed by Claire.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, Ross, for your service. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, and it's a very rich paragraph, and I wrote a lot in the margin, and the things I wrote, one of the things I wrote was approach with humility. So in connection with my higher power is what I need to do to approach someone. And why? Because it's through my own spirituality is that I can help other people. And I share my experience, strength, and hope. And you know, it's like I wrote, like, we can keep praying and say, do you want me to approach this person, God? And so I have to start with my higher power. And with my higher power, in conscious contact with my higher power, I can listen, I can share, I can, like, just carry those values when I talk to someone new. Carry those values from the staff spiritual connection of being gentle. And it, the paragraph talks about it. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Friendship and fellowship. That's all I need to remember, that I can be, I can talk like I can talk with a friend. No judgment. And it says you will most, you will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. In other words, not being forceful, not preaching. And another thing that struck me is this is sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. So I often say, let's think about it, let's pray about it for 24 hours, and let's see if this is a good fit. And there's no rushing. In other words, there's no rushing. But I very much appreciate this book and all it what it offers me, you know, examples and what I can do to approach another person. I did not, because I didn't used to do that, but there's certainly today I can use this book, and when I think about it, I am very conscientious of, you know, talking about my pain, and then just follow the instructions in this book, which are so simple. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
All right, Elena. Thank you. And next up is Clary. I think it was Clary. Bob, by Nancy P.
Hi, Russ. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic recovered in the UK. Thank you so much for your service. Yeah, this paragraph is loads that came to my mind when we read this. I mean, the first thing really that came through to me was, you know, don't shove it down people's throats. You know, do not wear out your welcome. Don't talk down from the spiritual hilltop. You know, don't exhibit passion for crusader reform. And I've definitely been guilty of that before in the past. I've been, you know, essentially trying to sell a program to people, you know, and persuade people that this is what they want to do. And I really try not to do that anymore. I was directed by a former sponsor to the page 18 description. And I just flipped back to it, actually. It says that the man is making the approaches have the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he's talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect he's a man with an answer, that they have no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. And it says that these are the conditions we find most effective. You know, there seems to be, and I know for myself when I was in the food, you know, people who seem to lecture me or seem to sort of be a bit holier than thou, my response was to withdraw. I didn't want anything to do with it. It used to just really make me feel very annoyed. And so, you know, I'm almost likely to be unhelpful if I'm like that. And what I've found to be most effective is exactly what it says. You know, I share what's happened for me. I share what my illness is like. I share what I do. And I usually, if I speak to people about sponsorship, I leave them to it for a few days. I let them have a think about it. You know, I sort of, because it's not for everybody. It's hard work. And I don't have a monopoly on this. You know, it's like there's other loads of other stuff out there that is available, loads of other methods, loads of other meetings, you know, and I can only share what's worked for me. And I really like that thing about, you know, lay out the gift of spiritual tools. You know, hopefully I can demonstrate that to show him how they've worked with me, you know, so I can be honest, I can have humility, I can have integrity, I can describe how I surrender, I can describe how I put the action in and how I'm sort of working things out. So, you know, and then it says offering friendship and fellowship, you know, and I think the word friendship comes up a lot in this chapter. You know, I don't have to be some sort of mentor to everyone. I can just be a friend and a fellow. I'm available. I can be how you want me to be. If you please use me, please give us a call if you want to. And the last thing I just was picking up is he says, you know, sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once and you might be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. So it doesn't say it's always a mistake, and it doesn't say, you know, that people are always, you know, wondering about it. So again, I think it's really, and this has really been my experience with talking to people, it's such an individual thing. People are very different. People are at different places.
Sorry.
And I have to use, yeah, my common sense and integrity just to know when it's appropriate to get on with it and when it's appropriate to leave people to it. And I'll leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Claire. Next up is Nancy P., followed by Ana Yeta.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So, like, I don't care if any sponsees respond. The first thing that I do whenever I take on a new sponsee is remember who I am and who I'm not. And I'm not their buddy. I'm not their financial advisor. I'm not their priest or rabbi or minister. I'm not a lawyer or a doctor. I'm none of those things. And the only thing that I have is my own experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I don't, you know, scream it out to them and say take it or leave it, but I'm pretty clear throughout that, you know, this is what I did. And if someone, you know, calls me up, even if I'm not sponsoring them, or if I am sponsoring them, you know, I go over, if they pick up especially, I go over what happened, this, that, and the other happened. And I say, well, have you been doing the things that we've been talking about? Yes or no? No, well, it's not that you deserved what happened, but neither should you be surprised. And then I, excuse me, I talk about myself and how that was my exact path for almost 5 decades until I decided to straighten up and fly right. And, you know, I learned to do that from my own sponsor, one of zillions of sponsors that I've had since 1971. You know, reporting food and all that stuff, that didn't really work for me. And you know, I don't ever hide, sneak, cheat, lie, pick, or lick. I do not have an unhealthy relationship with food based on my own needs at all. I never cheat. I never sneak, any of that stuff. Neither do I report my food. But I, you know, I've listened to people make outreach calls and they say how wonderful it makes them feel. And I I support them, you know, whatever works for them. It's up to, you know, I tell my sponsees, because this is what happened to me. I had to find my own path. And when it was time for me to sponsor, I didn't want to do it. And my sponsor said, okay, tomorrow I want to hear you on the phone saying that you're available. And I said, I have a way better idea, which is that we do it again like a cycle. And she laughed at me and she said, that's a terrible idea for me and for you. And at first, all I could do was read my notes that I took when I was being sponsored and taken through this last time. And gradually that those notes became, you know, shaped like me instead of like her. And my sponsees taught me the best way to go. And, you know, I can't help anybody get spiritual tools. I can only say what happened to me, but I can say it in a way that is attractive. And, you know, I don't seem to have any problem attracting people, and I love them, and they like me too, and I can be there for them when they need me, but not a nursemaid, not to jump ahead, you know, not a banker or anything like that. But, you know, I tell them a little bit like a zealot how wonderful I feel all the time, and that they can have it too, if they just do what the book says. And that seems to work. You know, I'll wrap up. Somebody else was saying, you know, people are different. They are. And but one thing binds me to every person that I work with, and that is one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Anayeta R., and then we will take a new list.
Thank you, Russ, for your service. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas, outside Dallas. I am a grateful compulsive overeater. I am recovered today. And I really love sponsoring. And I love the sponsors I have, and I've probably had the same amount, bazillion, in the last several decades. I'm a little envious of people who have had a sponsor for a long period of time. But I've learned so much from everyone. But what I'm having a little problem with is that I feel like part of what Bill did when he first started was he went out and tried to find people to help. And I think that some people have gotten away from that. And I've had people tell me that I won't talk to somebody unless they call me. And I'm thinking to myself, this person's really desperate, but they're just embarrassed, ashamed, afraid, I don't know, shy, and they really don't want to call the other person. They really wanted to talk to somebody, but they were having a hard time. And they just say that they won't call them, that they have, if they're really ready and they really want this, then they'll call me. Well, you know, I'm so glad that Bill didn't think that, because we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. None of us would be here if Bill thought that. And so, you know, I'm feeling like it may not be your friend, and it may not be somebody you know, but it may be somebody out there that really is asking for help, wanting someone to call them, and they're reaching out, but they just can't pick up that phone. I think that it's my responsibility to talk to that person, but sometimes I'm too close to that situation. They need somebody else, or maybe it's about something else that I can't help them with. But anyway, I like to think that, excuse me, I just need to take a drink. I like to think that it says never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. I don't think that I'm on a spiritual hilltop that I talk down to people. But I think by talking to people and reaching out to people and volunteering time or effort to other people, I am on a spiritual hilltop. And I love that. because I feel like very connected to God today. Thank you. And I love this program, and I love you guys. And I just want to say, please don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Everyone has a miracle. And just keep coming, and you'll get them. And then you'll start seeing them all the time. Thank you again, Russ. I pass.
Thanks, honey. Yes. All right. Next up, we're going to take another list. And if you've shared in the past couple of days, please step back and ask the others could have a shot. So who would like to share?
Monica F.
Monica.
Shanna C. Sorry.
Shanna.
Perry D.
Say that one more time.
Perry D.
Perry? As it...
Yeah, Perry with a T.
Perry D. Okay.
Sandy S.
Sandy. Who else? Anyone else? We got plenty of time. All right, so we'll take these four. Monica, Shanna, Terry, Sandy. Monica, you're up.
Hi, I'm Monica S. from Michigan. I really like the whole paragraph, but the last part, never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Yeah, I'm really happy the people in this program, didn't do that to me because I came in, atheist, and but it was, I was instructed to have a higher power of my own understanding. And now I accept, all religions and beliefs. And some of them I use, parts of them. And I have, this program taught me to have an open mind and not look down on anybody's spiritual religious practices and see where I can even use some of them. And simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection, show them how they worked with you. It's just, I feel like the whole point of the program is to help me to get rid of my, self-centeredness and fear so that I can have a, and the way I do that is by having a spiritual experience. And the point of having that spiritual experience is so that I can help other people and share the message with other people so that they can have a spiritual experience and practice these principles in all my affairs. And, thereby being able to cook out the food. But, and just the other part, offering him friendship and fellowship. I've never, had as quality of friendships as I have ever had in my life as I had in this program. But also, the program helped me to improve my friendships outside of program because it taught me how to not just wallow in fear of people and, the promises have come true for me. And so, and I'm not, self-centered. I am, or as self-centered as I used to be, I am thinking about other people more. And so that makes me a better friend. And also tell him that if he wants to get well, you're willing to do anything to help. Like that service, that just the importance of helping other people, getting out of myself. That's the program. So anyway, there's just so much in here, and I really appreciate this paragraph. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Monica. Next up is Shanna C.
Good morning. Thank you, Russ. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Very grateful for every sponsor I've ever had. Different phases and different times in my recovery. I believe with all my heart that God has placed different personalities in my life to help me hear what I need to hear when I need to hear it. And some sponsors I've learned what to do and what not to do. And I think at the very beginning, my learning of what not to do was probably the most important thing I needed when working with others. Because I definitely got to experience that. I'm not going to lie, I'm not playing a victim here. My very first sponsor was abusive. You know, and at the same time, she handed me the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she did show up and she did care, but she was not, she was neither calm, frank, or open and neutral, nor was she a coddler. It was just really rough. And, you know, subsequent to that, I had to make amends to sponsees that I had as a result of the way she treated me, because people were like, dang, that's not what we do here. But anyway, I'm grateful definitely for that experience as well, and I never have to be back in that situation ever again. And but then I've had others who have, you know, talked down to me, not in the sense of berating me in that way, but coddling, treating me like a preschooler, talking to me like I'm 2 years old. That doesn't work for me either. In fact, I'd rather you kick my teeth in than treat me like I'm two. And like a baby. And so grateful, though. So grateful, because one of the things my sponsor has told me recently is, we don't have to do any of this perfect. All we have to do is make the connection. And grateful that it isn't my job to have to figure it all out. That the directions on how to help others is written right there in that book. And when I'm connected to God and I'm asking God, how can I help this specific person? And I just show up, and God, get me out of the way. Help me tell the truth. Help me give what I have, and let that be good enough. That's a lot of the problem that I think that I've gotten myself into, is no matter what I do, I tell myself I'm not good enough to be helping this person. And so in that, I'm still thinking about me. When I'm connected to God, and I'm in 10, 11, and 12, and I'm asking God for the sincere desire to be helpful, results be what they may, I'm showing up and I'm sharing a program, and it is up to the person whether or not they take it or leave it, you know, and I'm grateful I didn't have people chase me down to do it. I'm so grateful to have, grateful to be on the line, grateful that it's a sane and practical program of action that enables me to live abstinently and it not be so darn painful. That's it.
All right, Shanna, thanks. Next up is Terry D, followed by Sandy S.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody else. Terry D, recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. It's a real privilege to get a chance to share on this meeting and on this topic. Very timely for me this morning. I'm just about reaching the point in my program where helping other people and being available for other people that want to come into the fellowship is now becoming a kind of a feature. But when I read this paragraph this morning with you all, it reminded me of how sick I was when I showed up, and the illusion of control that I had, and all the manic efforts I'd made over the decades to try and control my food in all sorts of different ways. And I needed kindness from people. I used to show up at this Monday night meeting in Boulder, and I did not walk in and get struck abstinent. I walked in and I finally knew that I wanted to be part of this fellowship, having tried to come here for a couple of decades. And the people were so kind. They exhibited what has been shared this morning. They exhibited humility. They just let me kind of share manically and tell my story. And eventually, after a few months, nobody else showed up to the meeting apart from the woman that ran it. And she pulled out the meeting agenda. And I said, do you mind if I just ask you some questions? And I peppered that woman with questions for an hour. And she didn't tell me what my definition of abstinence would be. She didn't tell me what my food plan would be. She didn't tell me what my alcoholic foods would be. She just led me with kindness and answered all my questions and gave me a roadmap to finding that out for myself and what I might want from a sponsor. And it was so incredibly helpful. And, you know, I just picked up a sponsee this week. And so just to kind of to hear this morning is incredibly helpful. And this meeting has been really helpful to me for a bunch of times. So thank you for everyone that does service here. Thanks, Russ. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, Terry, thank you. Next up is Sandy S. And then we'll be able to take a few more, I think.
Hi, this is Sandy S., recovered compulsive overeater from Asheville, North Carolina, currently in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. The reason I mention this is a miracle. I shared on the line, I'll just say very briefly, that I am living with a soulmate, my third actually. My first one was someone with whom I had this spiritual experience that led to my current recovery of 49 plus years. And sponsoring has been very difficult for me. I've definitely run after people. When I first started, I remember in New York on a bus seeing someone who was overweight and going up to her and telling her about OA. Obviously, she wasn't interested. I was bulimic and I was very skinny. I don't think if I was heavy, it would have made a difference. But over the years, I've had a lot of difficulty because I've been brutal with people. So here's an amends to anyone on the line that I've been brutal with, because abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, but it goes along with God. I mean, I can't be abstinent without God. Can't have God without abstinence. But the real thing I'm having difficulty with in the 12 steps is sponsoring. So it's scary for me, sponsoring, because I just get so angry at people. I mean, I do a lot of 10 steps, but I have successfully sponsored two people. And the person I'm currently sponsoring is ready to sponsor someone else and doesn't really want to. And either do I. So that's why I'm on this line. So if anyone, I just want to say this, is interested in my recovery, and my style of sponsoring is I really pray to God. Like, what am I supposed to do? I have no idea. You know, I know there's the big book, but I'm a reconstructionist. I'm not by the book. I really believe that that I'm not an alcoholic. You know, and alcoholics are different, and I don't have to do all this self-sacrifice. I mean, I definitely need to serve others, but self-care for myself is the most important thing. The person I have sacrificed has been myself. Throughout my whole life, there's this saying that I live by now. I'd rather disappoint another person. I'd rather disappoint everyone on the vision line than to betray myself. And that is the most important thing to me. To really ask God, how do you want me to be with myself today? Because I definitely have been the most punitive person to myself. I'm powerless over that. And I've been punitive to the sponsees. And so I'm hoping for another miracle. I do believe in don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. And that my job today is to be open to God's miracles. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sandy. All right, we have time for three more shares. Who would like them?
What page, please?
We're in Working with Others. What page is that? Page 95, first paragraph. That's what we're doing. All right, who would like to share on this?
Natalie S.
Natalie.
Becky G.
Danny P.
All right, I got Danny P. But who was that before Danny P? There was someone before Danny.
The Betsy G.
Oh, Betsy. That's it. Got it. All right. Who else? One more.
Maya K.
All right, Maya K. All right. So let's see if we can work it out. We got Natalie S., Betsy G., Danny P., and Maya K. All right, Natalie, you're up.
Thank you, Russ. This is Natalie S., a covered compulsive overeater in Indiana. And the line that stood out to me today was working with others. And the reason that stood out to me was because I have always felt like others want to work on me. You know, I'm in a situation with family members. They think they can fix me. They don't understand this disease. They don't seek to understand. And that just reminds me that when I'm working with someone else, I need to be that person that steps alongside them and walks them along and listens more than speaks and gives them hope, like the St. Francis prayer, rather than despair. And nobody could change me. No one could fix me. No one could show me a new way until I was able to trust them. And what I'm learning is that whoever I'm with, if I go with them rather than like a current fighting against them, crashing on the rock, whatever outcome happens, the relationship is solid and it can weather almost anything. But it does require for me that I remain spiritually fit, as many people have shared. And the minute I get fearful that somebody's trying to make me do something I don't want to do, when I don't want to do it, I have to go to God or go to steps 10, 11, and 12 and find out what is my part, what's stopping me in that. And so that's what I was thinking of, and with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Natalie. Next up is Betsy G., followed by Danny P.
Hey, everybody. This is Betsy G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Frederick, Maryland. Can I be heard?
Gotcha.
Was that a yeah?
Yes.
Sorry, yes. Really happy to be here. Thank you to everybody who gets this meeting together. I listen in every morning. I don't share a whole heck of a lot. But I just wanted to throw in that I know for sure I was very, very nervous to sponsor when I first got recovered about 4 years ago. And what I've come to understand, you know, that living in the maintenance steps 10, 11, and 12, they really are intricately connected. It's kind of almost, for me, impossible to work one without the other if I'm doing these disciplines on a daily basis. And what I've also come to understand and has been really, really true for me is that I approach this with somebody, you know, talking about, let's go through this work together, shoulder to shoulder. You know, you bring your honesty, your experience, and I'll bring my honesty and my experience. And the book is a script. We just go page by page. We read, we talk, we have questions. I don't have to know anything any more than the only reason that I might be like that. I'm a guide, and is that I have a spiritual connection, and maybe they don't if they're suffering from the same thing that I was suffering from when I came in. Right. So let's lean into my spiritual connection and help you get yours. That's all we're really trying to do. And it just took a lot of, you know, when I frame it that way, it took a lot of the burden off me. You know, like I felt like I was supposed to know everything and where everything was in the book and, you know, the underlying meaning behind every concept and, you know, idea. And I don't need to know any of that. You know, I can always say, I don't know. Let's go find out together. You know, and it just, approaching it that way, open the door. I was able to start, you know, really, and really sponsoring people, really talking to people, really helping people get through the work. And what that does, it opens my recovery in magical, magical ways, you know, in very spiritual ways. I, you know, you talk about you and I learn about me. And that phenomenon occurs over and over and over and over. So, you know, I'm grateful to be in this program. I'm grateful to be in this chapter. And, you know, I would encourage anyone and everyone out there who's like on the fence, a little bit nervous about sponsoring, it really will enrich your program. And have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Betsy, thank you. Next up is Danny P., followed by Maya K.
Good morning, Ross. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and mercy, and I'm calling from Brazil. Well, it's a very interesting paragraph. The instructions, they are so helpful to me. I really need to follow them when I'm sponsoring. You know, try not to rush them, try not to persuade them. My talk needs to be sane, quiet, and full of human understanding. And I certainly cannot act as a reformer or an evangelist. It doesn't work in my experience when I assume I have all the answers. I know everything. I know better. It's really not attractive. I just need to tell them what using this kit of spiritual tools, entirely abstinent, has done for me, you know. And I tell them that in the beginning of this year, in January, I had a heart attack, and I was in the ICU for 9 days. And then I discovered I have a heart condition, and I might have another heart attack, and I might have heart failure. And you know, I'm quite young. I'm 48 years old. And then I was 2 months without working. I had some financial insecurity coming up. And then I ended a relationship. And then I lost my dog. My dog is my infinite source, was my infinite source of affection. And he died. And I'm still sober. Why? Because I use this kit of spiritual tools on a daily basis, entirely abstinent. So that's my message. I don't tell them I have all the answers. This is what God has given me, and I highlight that all the credits, I give all credits where credits are due. It's God. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself, and this is a result of a relationship of power. So I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Danny. And Maya, we have about 2 minutes. You can close us out with a 2-minute share.
Okay, I'm Maya, a compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery from New York. Maya with a J, M-A-I-J-A. And I guess I just really liked hearing this paragraph, and thank everyone for sharing about, I guess, you know, not looking down on people and just, you know, especially with the God stuff. Recently, my daughter's been having a hard time, and I feel like, you know, she doesn't like the God stuff that I believe in, and I just wanted her to have this program in any way, you know, like Al-Anon, what she went through with a boyfriend. And I said, you know, they don't You don't have to have a God thing. You could just have good orderly direction or the group at anything, you know. But I just have to say that this program has really, like, made me a lot less self-centered. And I'm just so grateful to be able to, like I heard, listen more and talk less and be there for people. And it's just such a lifesaver, you know, and it's just like, I mean, program people aren't perfect. And I've heard, you know, the people who've helped me the most aren't the people who have yelled at me in the program. My sponsor is just a loving, amazing person and has prayed with me and has taught me, has been just a role model. And I love and adore her, and it's made me closer to depend on a higher power for me. And I'm just so grateful to her, and I just want to be like that for people. So I really thank OA for really teaching me how to live life better and better every year of my life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Maya. And Maya's going to be the last share for today. Thank you to everyone that shared today. And thank you for everyone that did service to make this meeting possible. Okay, so today's share I did, but whoever didn't share, we're having an unrecorded hour study after this closing. So today's
Is
share
Donna P. in Brazil?
Danny P. is in Brazil. Thank you. So today's share ID, Friday, May 2nd, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,399. So 22,399. And I've asked, Nancy R. is going to read Vision for You, a book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Nancy, recovered compulsive overeater from Northwest Bonsai. I'm 64. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order, obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.